Paul tells you like it is. He knows no other way. A sickness of his own. Tiptula does miss a thing. Walt Tiptula Road Rage. We are back. I just saw Robert there. What happened to Robert? Hey, let me tell you about Nick Lavey. 1011 Tiger Boulevard, Suite 500, right behind Mellow Mushroom in Clemson. Do you need someone who knows the law and is going to be on your side? That's Nick Lavey, Clemson's local attorney. Nick will help you get what you deserve. Nick has been serving our Clemson upstate community for more than 25 years, helping people, dedicated. By the way, philanthropically, super active too. Active in the community, helps us with Tigers for Tatas every year. Donates special sports items that I auction for big money, and he's unbelievably generous in that capacity as well. But DUI, been charged with DUI, it's a devastating event, could disrupt your entire life. Doesn't mean you're guilty. It means you're going to have to go to court and face the charges. Listen, you are going to need a quality South Carolina DUI lawyer to represent you in court. Boat, car, motorcycle accident. Listen, you've been injured in any sort of accident. There are certain things you need to do. Police report. Get it all down. Get it all detailed. Medical help, obviously, first, if you need it. And then call Nick Lavey. Don't speak to any insurance companies before you call Nick Lavery. Wrongful death. If your family's faced with the decision to file a wrongful death lawsuit, it's important to know exactly what you need, how to get what you deserve. Look, if your loved one dies due to the negligence of someone else, it's time for justice. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will make sure you find justice. And finally, parenting's hard. It's even harder if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law. What do you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help you. Nick and his legal team know all the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Whether it's a DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, fake ID, Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680, 864-654-3680, or visit online nicklaverylaw.com, L-A-V-E-R-Y. Did you hear, Ramona, earlier that Ben Milstead said that a leopard had escaped from the zoo?
Yeah, he was telling me.
Yeah.
And he didn't tell me all the details.
Well, you know, apparently they were saying, you know, no worries. It's not dangerous. Okay, I'm sorry. That's
really?
Complete horse bleep. Okay, save that crap for somebody who's stupid enough to believe it. A leopard on the loose is a very dangerous animal, no matter what you say. I mean, look, I get why you want to keep the public calm, but don't be telling us any friggin' stories like that, okay? A leopard just walked into that store in India. This is on the internet right now. In fact, somebody sent it to me earlier. And it's going after people and everything else. Now, you might want to tell me, well, one's a wild animal, Walt, and one's a zoo animal. No, Sherlock, they're all wild animals. Some of them just happen to be put in a zoo, and they're the most pissed off ones because that's where they are.
That's what I was going to say. They're the ones that when they get out, it's worse.
And that's actually a great zoo, too. But, yeah, but man, come on. Don't be telling us any of that nonsense. Leopards aren't dangerous. Oh, look at the putty cat. No.
Yeah. No.
No, save that nonsense. You know, I was thinking about this when I was talking about the fearsome foursome. The Purple People Eaters, which started it with the Alex Trebek category, the football category, in which the three numbskulls failed to answer a single football question. The greatest defensive lines in the history of the National Football League all had names. There was the Fearsome Foursome. There was the Purple People Eaters. There was the Steel Curtain. There was Doomsday. Doomsday was the Dallas Cowboys. Steel Curtain, obviously, Pittsburgh. There was the New York Sack Exchange. Believe it or not, the Jets with Klecko and Lyons and Gastineau, who was, again, one of the world's biggest a-holes in the history of athletics. Is that it? Who else had a named defensive line? Am I forgetting anybody? Again, the Purple People Eaters, the Fearsome Foursome, Doomsday, the Steel Curtain, the New York Sack Exchange. you had to have a name. If you were a great defensive line, you had to have a name. And in modern football, there just hasn't been any defensive lines like that. And, you know, there's a player here or there, but there hasn't been any defensive lines like that because you can't pay them. You pay your quarterback $60 million, $55 million, and then there's a cap. So you can't – you just – it's almost impossible to create that type of dominance along the defensive line. So of those five, unless there's somebody else I'm leaving out, let me check text line, see if anyone came up with anything. No. We're talking pro football. Nobody's come up with anything. What is this? Man, 356. Leopards are about as dangerous to human as women. I love women, but they're dangerous creatures. Travis says Orange Crush. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Orange Crush was pretty good. And they did have a name. The Orange Crush was sort of their whole defense. Which included their linebacker, Randy Gratishar. I'll count that. That's a good job. A couple people came up with that. That's a good job. Again, it was sort of their old defense, but I'm going to count that. I'm accepting that answer. That's well done. That's Texter 617 and 607 independently came up with that. That's a good job. Robert, lines are busy. I'm getting to you. Robert.
Wald, how's it going?
Good, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing great. So it's with these nicknames, it's kind of hard trying to determine, was it the whole defense, like the Monsters of the Midway? Was that just the front of that defense, or was that the whole defense?
That was the whole team. The Bears were the Monsters of the Midway.
Okay. So it wasn't even just the defense.
No, that was the whole team.
And I thought you said five of them. I guess I didn't hear it, but I guess because I was calling in, I guess you said the Steel Curtain, obviously.
Yeah, and we're going to add Orange Crush from Denver, although that was more – the whole defense too, but where the others were more specifically defensive front. Defensive fronts must have thought they were their own club, and they sort of were. But and it would be really difficult to rank those defensive lines because, quite honestly, the purple people eaters, the fearsome foursome, Doomsday, the Steel Curtain. And even the New York Sack Exchange, those were all super elite defensive fronts. I mean, there were players everywhere. I would probably put the Jets last among that group. And then what then you get to say what to do with Orange Crush. They'd be where the Jets are. And then you got to deal with those other four. And quite honestly, they were all absolutely filthy. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be hard to rank those.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I think I'd put Doomsday fourth, and then I'd be left with the Steel Curtain, the Fearsome Foursome, and the Purple People Eaters.
Yeah. I think I would have to go with the Purple People Eaters. I mean, because of they didn't even keep certain stats at that time, and they've gone back.
But the guy who's most affected by that is Deacon Jones, who would be the all-time sack leader.
Mr. For you young people, Mr. Head Slap.
That's right.
It's Well, some people didn't get to experience the head slapped watching football.
And they actually outlawed that eventually because of Deacon Jones while he was still playing, and it still didn't matter. They couldn't block him. But they had Deacon Jones and Merlin Olsen on the same side of the line of scrimmage. And I'm telling you, if you go watch the film of Deacon Jones, your eyes, if you actually, you know, if you're accustomed to watching football film, your eyes cannot help but be drawn to Merlin Olsen at the same time, because he is whipping his guy every single play. I mean, instantly. Merlin Olsen was far more explosive than people realize. Now, going back to...
That's the stuff of nightmares.
Right. Now, going back to the Purple People Eaters, you had the great Carl Eller, who was a tremendous pass rusher himself, and you had Alan Page, who went on to be a federal judge. Alan Page is probably the best pass-rushing defensive tackle who ever lived, and that includes Aaron Donald, and that includes Joe Green, that includes Merlin Olsen. Alan Page was the quickest defensive tackle who ever lived, even quicker than Aaron Donald. And in that review, he's been credited with a year where he had 24 sacks or whatever, 27 sacks even, whatever that number was. I mean, Page was unbelievably quick. And then the Steelers front, I mean, if I'm ranking the greatest defensive tackles of all time, historically speaking, I generally put Joe Green first.
Yeah.
You know, and that front was unbelievable.
Yes, it was. I'm not so sure about sticking the Orange Crush in there. I mean, because that was probably more front seven. And if you're going to do front seven, then you kind of have to look at, you know, other nicknames.
The Orange Crush was more the whole defense, as I said, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because you had the linebacking group that was the Dome Patrol for New Orleans. And then Atlanta fans, they got to talk about the grit splits.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't belong in there.
Illini J says Joe Klecko looked like he had a British dentist. I'm not exactly sure what that means, really. But you know,
yeah,
Klecko's one of those guys that I argued forever belonged in the Hall of Fame. And he just wasn't getting there, and finally he did. I mean, Klecko was a monster. I mean, you know, not in terms of, like, today's size. He probably only weighed 270 pounds. But he's one of the strongest players who ever played in the National Football League. And his strength was basically unparalleled, and he was a super athlete. I mean.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I've asked you this question before, Walton. You've kind of poo-pooed on it, but do you separate out some of the players from the steroids era? Would they have been as good if they hadn't artificially bulked up and improved their play through chemical use?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that impacts people like Lyle Alzado, who admitted it, and maybe, you know, that front. But I don't think it impacted anybody on the not any significant player on the Steelers' defensive line. Obviously, Mike Webster was involved in steroids, but he was the center. And you had another guy there who was too. But I don't think I don't think any of the Holmes or Joe Green or Dwight White. There was no sign of any of that with any of those guys.
But you have to admit that it was widespread. I mean, the game looks completely different. Back during the steroids era, dudes were out there. They looked like, all of them looked like Mr. Olympus. I mean, their muscles were bulging. You don't see that anymore. So that tells me that it was very widespread. These guys, their frigging forearms and biceps were just bulging out the whole game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, steroids has a lot of effects on people. I don't know about that. See, like, Alzado was one of the biggest users. I don't think you would say that about him. I mean, he just looked more,
I don't know. He looked pretty buff when he was playing. Yeah, so did Howie Long, by the way.
I don't think I would use that word to describe El Zato, but Texter wrote and said Warren Sapp is the best true three tech DT. Well, Warren Sapp was a unbelievable three tech. He's not the best. I mean,
can I get to why I called you? Got off sidetrack. This whole Caitlin Clark thing. Well, it just. I mean, first of all, if it's not obvious already, and I may have already said this, and I'm going to say it again. She's the Aaron Rodgers of the WNBA, without a doubt.
Robert, do me a favor. Call me back tomorrow. I'm way late.
No problem.
Thank you. And we'll have that conversation. And before we go to break here, let me tell you about my friends at Lake Kiwi and the Giant Summer Spectacular. Hey, listen, it's heating up. It's heating up. Lake Kiwi Ford, Lake Kiwi Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram are kicking off summer sales. So if you've been thinking about upgrading that ride before the travel and vacation season hits full speed, now is the time to jump. Lake Kiwi Ford, Lake Kiwi Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram are kicking off summer with the biggest discounts you're going to see all year. I'm talking about the $15,000 off brand new trucks. Yeah, 15 grand. That is not a typo, my friends. That's a friggin' game changer. So if you've had your eye on a new F-150 or maybe a Ram, Lake Kiwi has a whole lineup ready to go. And if you're on the fence, test drive them both. Do it side by side. Figure out which one fits you. It's unique to that Rams team. It had been used by other teams numerous times. So that's the only problem with that name. Now, it was most associated historically with the Rams, but there were other teams and other great defensive lines. I mean, they called the Colts the fearsome foursome at one point. And that Colts line had Gino Marchetti and Art Donovan, Big Daddy Lipscomb, and what was the other guy? Joyce, I think. But, you know, Marchetti, when we get in this conversation about the greatest defensive ends of all time, you can argue Gino Marchetti's the greatest defensive end of all time. He's certainly in that conversation. Bill and Anderson. Bill, how are you, Bill? Good to have you.
Oh, I'm fine. You were talking about Alan Page a while ago.
Yep.
I can remember watching one football game where he was called for three consecutive penalties, two 15-yarders and a 10-yarder. And he was just absolutely livid. You could tell just watching him. He was just stomping around, and the penalties had moved the other team into a long field goal range. The next three plays, he had two sacks, and he tackled the running back for a loss, and they wound up punting on something like 4th and 24.
So, Bill, in watching him back then, was he the quickest defensive tackle that ever played?
But I can remember the announcer was saying, I guess the moral to that is you don't make Alan Page mad.
Yeah. So, Bill, was he... watching back then, was he the quickest defensive tackle you had ever seen?
Well, I was fairly young back then, but yeah, he probably was.
Yeah.
Now, everybody always thought Deacon Jones, when he first came up, I forgot who he took the place of. Was it Youngblood that he replaced?
No.
They thought he might be a little bit undersized, and so people were going to initially try to run on him, and they found out real quick that didn't work.
That's right, that it couldn't run on him either. Yeah. I think Deacon Jones is probably the greatest defensive end of all time, and I think he can make a strong...
Do you remember, there was another defensive end that retired that he took the place of. Who was that?
It's not Youngblood, because that wouldn't be the correct order.
I think it was. But when Youngblood left, they said, well, we got a smaller guy in here now.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was Youngblood, because I think that's the reverse order. I think Youngblood came after that.
After? Well, yeah. I forgot who it was, but when he first started, they thought they might be able to run on him, and they found out real quick that didn't work.
Good job, Bill. Thank you. Good talking to you.
Someone off air say no name defense at Miami.
Well, that's the whole defense, though. But
okay.
But yeah, And, you know, that was Nick Bonacani and that entire group. You know, Fred Dyer, who had a TV show, was in that general time frame too. But yeah, you can get in if you want, 654-7627, 654-7627. I don't, it's hard to say which was the best of those. They were all so great. Really, really difficult to say. Tough call, you know. And the Steelers defensive line, you know, and generally speaking, the Steel Curtain referred to that defensive line, but that entire defense, I mean, you know, if you want to look at defenses historically, the Ravens defense with Dilfer when they won the Super Bowl was unbelievable. I think the greatest single-season defense of all time was the 85 Bears. Although Marino wouldn't agree because he tore them up on a Monday night, but nobody else did. They destroyed everything else in their sight. That was probably the single-season greatest defense. But if you ask me, like, personnel-wise and with all due respect to that bunch, and they had some great, great players, obviously. But if you ask me, like, personnel-wise, historically speaking, I just think the Steelers' defenses were by far the best defenses that the National Football League has ever seen. I mean, they had Hall of Famers at every level. They had guys who had to wait to even get a chance to get their name mentioned, and some who never will, because there were just, I think they just didn't want to put everybody from that whole team in. I mean, that whole team was basically filled with nothing but Hall of Famers and just great, great players. I mean, Swan and Stallworth and Franco Harris and Bradshaw and Webster. And I mean, these are just guys on offense. And on defense, you know, I think you had Ham and Lambert and just you had, you know, what I think is probably the greatest corner who ever lived in Mel Blount. You had great safeties, including Clemson safety. You had the defensive front was unbelievable with obviously Joe Green and Holmes and Dwight White and all those guys. I mean, I think from a talent standpoint, I think those teams were the most talented teams we had ever seen in the history of the game. And they were at a time that, you know, you could just load up. You could stockpile players. You can't do any of that anymore. So that's why we're in an era of football where we were supposed to prevent dynasties. The Patriots wasn't supposed to happen, but they did. All right, Ramona, we need to get to our SEC quarterback conversation, because that was actually the plan today. And I'd like to talk some Clemson basketball at some point. We may do some of that tomorrow. Basketball, David wrote me, Ramona. He had spent some time with Brad at one of the grassroots events. He said, "We talked about you among many other things. Brad had high praise for you and your show, how much he enjoys coming on the show because he actually watches, you know, the game and study the game." And he mentions Ramona. We talked about the little buddy story.
What?
What? Yeah, they had a conversation about the little buddy story. We have told that story once on air. I don't think you know that, but we have.
I don't know that.
Yeah,
I must not been here.
You know, you were here. We told that story one time on air. It's absolutely hysterical. We might tell that. We might tell the little buddy story. We'll see. You might be able to coerce me into telling the little buddy story. All right, Ramona. We are talking. I'm going to take care of some business. Is that right, Ramona? I'm going to take care of some business. Let me tell you about my friends at Ace Home Co. Hey, let's get real. The heat's officially here to stay in the upstate. Ramona, like every day, they're telling me that the temperature is 96, but it feels like 121. You know, so it's hot. It's summer in South Carolina, my friends. Accepting the heat is here, though, doesn't mean settling for an uncomfortable home for the next 3 months. Look, when the heat's here, like, I don't mind the heat. You know what I mean? I actually sort of like working outside in the heat. I like the heat. But when I'm done with the heat, I need to go into the cold, not the semi-warm or lukewarm or any of that stuff. So maybe your air conditioner didn't keep up last summer, and you sort of know it. It's coughing. It's spitting up things. Or the summer before that, or the one before that. Look, you shouldn't have to keep worrying about bracing for the day when you come home from a hard day's work to a 90-degree home when your AC quits completely. That's no good. The good news is when you call Ace Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air, their bold white and blue techs will be there the same day, and they always repair where it's fair. They won't push you into any new system you don't need, but when a replacement really is the smart move, they'll present the best options to fit your home and the financing choices to fit your budget. We're talking a full brand new HVAC system with industry-leading warranties for as low as $128 a month if approved. And checking to see what you qualify for only uses a soft credit pull. So seeing your monthly costs won't hurt your credit. No pressure, just honest options to help protect and perfect your home from an actual local family-owned business. So for your free quote to see what's available to you, just go to acehomeco.com, schedule a service today, tell them I sent you. That is how it works, my friends. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk SEC quarterbacks. We started this yesterday. We didn't get very far. We covered six. Is that right? Six, Ramona?
No, we're all the way down to nine.
No, we didn't. No, we never got to Kamaro Taylor, who I believe was number 10. Yeah, he's 10, and we never got to him. We just mentioned his name, and we were going to get to him, but we didn't have a chance to. So that's where we are. We are at Kamaro Taylor, I believe. Number 16 was KJ Jackson of Arkansas. You know what? I'll tell you this on the other side. Waltip Tulip Road Rage. We'll be back.
If you're online, you've got the roar at your fingertips. From a beach and valley to the Rocky Mountains, you don't have to miss a minute. You can catch your favorite show streaming live on the Roar app or at theroarfm.com at any time.
Hey, if you're a sports fan, man, there is only one place, one destination. Where did you watch the World Cup? I hope it was at Twin Peaks. There's just nothing like it. But whatever your sport is, you're a Major League Baseball fan, you're a big Braves fan, you get to Twin Peaks. They have all the UFC and boxing events. They have it covered. No place carries as much sports as Twin Peaks does. And no place has the monitors they do. There are 80 high-definition monitors all over the place. It's like you're in your own friggin' studio. It's unbelievable. Except in this studio, beautiful women bring you food and drink the whole night you're there. It's the ultimate destination. Wall-to-wall TVs, every game, every fight, every big moment. Twin Peaks girls delivering the signature lodge experience. Rustic mountain atmosphere. It's beautiful.
Noirchick in Old Hollywood asks, what do you consider the worst ending in film? I don't know. Like, a lot of these, I have no idea what they are. One says Drag Me to Hell. I watched that, but I don't really even remember it. Drag Me to Hell, bro. It's a horror movie. You know that?
No.
What's the worst? Do you have a worst ending of a movie?
Gosh, I don't know. I'd have to think about that for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of these are like, this one says The Bad Seed from 1956. The Bad Seed from 1956. No idea. Most of these, I don't even know.
I'd have to read them all and think of what the endings were.
Well, but not to supply your own, you wouldn't. Do you have your own? Do you have an answer?
Gosh, I just don't know.
Gosh.
I don't know.
Gosh, I just don't know. All right. Let's get back to our quarterbacks because we're not going to finish and we have to finish this. Number 16 was KJ Jackson of Arkansas. If you missed this yesterday, all we covered was five or six of these. And again, I've done this a long time. I don't ever remember doing the analysis on any group of league quarterbacks where I liked all 16 guys. normally I hate things more than like them. You know, like out of any sample size of 16 announcers, I hate 15 of them. And normally, out of any sample size of 16 quarterbacks, I hate most of them. But in this case, I don't think there's a real weak spot. I think all of these guys can play. Now, their situations aren't the same. And again, the essential element for me in grading these college quarterbacks is what I'm going to call expected productivity. In fact, we probably want to write that down. That this is based on their world and their expected productivity. I'm not basing this on NFL talent. That would be an NFL evaluation. Then I wouldn't care anything about their productivity or about anybody around them or anything else. But as a college quarterback's world changes, for the better or worse, their season changes. And their team results change. And, you know, I think Lenore Sellers was a good example of that last year. You know, he did not play particularly well, but a lot of it had to do with his world. And it wasn't a condemnation in any way of his talent. Those two things are completely different to my way of thinking. And I'm not grading for that. We'll get to the draft, and I'll be grading for it then. But right now, I'm looking for productivity, and that's partly based on who your receivers are, who your offensive line is, who your running back is, who your coaches are. You know, what type of continuity do you have in that situation? So number 16 for me was K.J. Jackson, the Arkansas quarterback. And don't think I hate K.J. Jackson, because I don't. I think if K.J. Jackson was playing somewhere else, you'd have a lot of people talking about him. He's 6'4", he's 230 pounds, he's athletic, he's a lefty, he has a live arm. He just hasn't played. You know, he threw for like 350 yards last year, but he looked good doing it. And I think he has real potential. So we'll see what happens there with Arkansas this year. But, you know, I had to put him 16th, not because I want to, because I think if he is playing somewhere else, he'd be much higher on this list. And I think he has real potential. Number 15 was Faison Brandon from Tennessee. Sort of the same story. Obviously, he hasn't played yet, but hyper-talented kid, athletic, can throw on the move, sort of skinny still, needs to get stronger. A little bit of the, and I'm using this twice because I think it applies twice, but a little bit of the sort of old Randall Cunningham build and a little bit of that looping throwing motion, too, that Randall Cunningham had. And Cunningham wound up being one of the better quarterbacks in history, so... Faison Brandon, Tennessee, number 15. 14 is Austin Simmons. Look, when we first really saw Austin Simmons, it was when Jackson Dart got hurt against Georgia. And Simmons came in, immediately took him down the field and stuck in the end zone. I mean, and looked really good doing it. Now, again, nobody probably knew who he was. But he's a 6'4 lefty, and he has a live arm. He's a decent athlete, but he's a pocket passer. And a pretty good one. He just hasn't really had a chance. I mean, he got beaten out by Trinidad Chambliss. And, and still there were times that Lane Kiffin wanted to get him on the field, like when it mattered most. I think Austin Simmons has real ability. We'll find out about the supporting cast in Missouri this year. Is Ahmad Hardy even playing? We don't know the answer to that. Number 13. 13 is the Alabama quarterback, which I'm going to assume is Keelon Russell. I would not be surprised if it's Austin Mack. Mack's like 6'6", pretty athletic, makes some plays with his legs as he did when he got a chance to play against Indiana. Throws the ball with velocity, he can spin it, strong arm. There's a lot to like. I do think he has a little bit of an accuracy issue. It's a little bit similar to Drew Allar when he was at Penn State in that the percentages won't necessarily reveal the accuracy issue. It's that he is throwing behind receivers at times, and not intentionally. I don't mean trying to throw guys open. I mean the balls just aren't quite on target. Now, Keelon Russell, I think, is a freak. And You know, if he takes over there and if they help him, I think he could really move up the list. Again, a little bit of the Randall Cunningham build. Again, a little bit of that looping throwing motion, but a super live arm, could probably throw the ball 80 yards. Dangerous athlete, dangerous with his legs. There's just a lot to like about Keelan Russell. I like Austin Mack, too. I think Russell's upside gives him the edge on Mack in terms of what my expectation would be for Alabama. Also, they're going to need rushing yards out of their quarterback. Now, they can get that out of either one of them because their ground game, I think, is actually just going to suck. And so whichever guy gets this job, they're not going to get much run support, not from a conventional run game. You're not going to hand it to those running backs at Alabama and do anything because they're just – I just don't see any ability there. So I think they have a real problem again where they were 125th in rushing last year, and I think they're headed for a similar number this year. And if that's the case, then DeBoer's going to be in trouble regardless of contract extension. Number 12 was Aaron Filo. You know, I was asked about Aaron Filo today by a Florida fan, and, you know, I'm going to tell you what I said yesterday. The advantages that Aaron Filo has is Florida hired his offensive coordinator, too. And so Buster Faulkner goes with him to Florida. So obviously he already knows the things that Faulkner wants to do. That's a big advantage. And then maybe the even bigger advantage is that they are loaded with skill position weapons. You can make a case that they have as good a group as anybody in the SEC. That's how good their skill position weapons are. I mean, you're talking about super talent. Dallas Wilson is in the Jeremiah Smith neighborhood in terms of talent. That's how talented he is. He just hasn't stayed healthy yet. Eric Singleton is one of the five fastest players in college football. The former Georgia Tech product who went to Auburn for a year, and now he's at Florida. Vernell Brown is also gifted. So you have three elite talents at receiver on one team, and you have an absolute hammer at running back in Jaden Mboa. So, you know, now we'll need to see about the offensive line, how all those transfers play a role, because, you know, I would assume three-fifths of that starting offensive line are going to be transfers, but and you know, Harpering the tight end's pretty good too. So he has weapons everywhere around him. So who is Aaron Filo? Well, I mean, first of all, he's a pretty good athlete. He's a good passer. I mean, does he have as strong as an arm as a Filo, as a Russell or a Brandon or somebody like that? No, he doesn't. But he doesn't need to. He has plenty of arm to make all the throws a college quarterback needs to make. He's accurate. He's a good passer. So he's in a really good situation here and perhaps a situation to elevate himself on this list as the season goes on. We'll see. Number 11. 11 for me, and make sure I have this the same as you, Ramona. You take over from now. 11.
11 is Kenny Minchie at Kentucky.
Kenny Minchie is I'm enormously high on Minchie. I'm high on most of these guys, so I'm saying. But Minchie is the former Notre Dame quarterback who went right to the end with Carr in a battle for the job. There were a lot of people who were watching those practices who thought that Minchie should have got the job. I thought Carr would win that battle, and he did, but it was not a decisive victory in any way. It was right to the end. And Minchie's the better athlete. I mean, Minchie is more mobile. He can throw on the run. Again, I like Carr, but I think Minchie is a very comparable player with more athleticism. So he's going to go play for a Kentucky team in Will Stein that probably had the best portal offensive line haul of any of the schools nationally. I mean, they had
they had a great portal offensive line haul. As I said, probably the best. Now they need it because they basically have to replace that entire offensive line, but they've done that. So I think there's some reason for optimism with Will Snein and Kenny Minchie and that offensive line. So I'm pretty high on Minchie. He's a player to watch. I'm going to be watching that Kentucky-South Carolina game early. All right, Ramona, and that brings us to the top 10. And we'll need our little drum roll, Ramona. So all we did is give this player's name yesterday. Number 10, Ramona.
Kamara Taylor at Mississippi State.
That's where the drum roll comes in. let's start again. We're out of sync. Number 10, Ramona. There we go. And that is Kamario Taylor of Mississippi State. Well, you sort of changed his name a little bit. So I'm sorry. I was helping you out there. Kamario Taylor of Mississippi State. Look, Ramona, when I gave out my win totals, oh, we got to go to break. We'll be back.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar. From the first kickoff in Death Valley to the final pitch in Doug Kingsmore, we're your flagship station for Clemson Athletics all year.